Legends 24/7.
You only need a drink when the whiskey is the only thing. mouth and her lips that taste like sweet red wine and a pretty lace. She go to heaven every time. She got a gentle way that puts me at ease. When she walks in a room, I can hardly breathe. Got a devastated smile, knock a grown man to his knees. See, I'm on amphibious. It blows me away. She's everything I want to say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. She got one amphibious. I don't know what to do. Every time I try to tell her how I feel, it comes out, I love you. You got whatever it is. You know I've never been a type they would ever want to stay. Bring them home at night and they're gone the next day. But that all changed when she walked into my life. And people ask them why it is, tell them I don't know. That just something about the woman makes my heart go haywire. She's gonna be my wife. She got one amphibious. It blows me away. She's everything I wanna say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. She got one amphibious. I don't know what to do. Every time I try to tell her how I feel, it comes out, I love you. You got whatever it is. That's how I feel. Cause when she loves me, I'm on top of the world. Cause when she loves me, no, I can live forever. And when she loves me, I am untouchable. She got one of them idiots. It blows me away. She's everything I want to say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. She got one of them idiots. I don't know what to do. Cause every time I try to tell her how I feel, it comes out, I love you. I do. You got whatever it is. Oh, you got whatever it is.
I got a bus where I got a
passionate country in the heart of Wisconsin. Country Legends 24/7. 105.5 FM.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking at the county fair. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo, I'll be there. They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way. But I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's on my mind. Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. I ain't got a dime, but what I got is mine. I ain't rich, but Lord, I'm free. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's where I'll be. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's where I'll be.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
New federal regulations will require nursing homes to drastically increase staffing levels over the next 5 years. But it won't be easy to locate and hire more registered nurses and licensed practical nurses to meet the need.
These standards don't go into place for 5 years, but if those were imposed right now, more than half the states have less than a quarter of the number of nurses' aides and other nursing staff they need.
Then, men who face mental health challenges can benefit by talking things over with male friends. But will they?
Permission to talk is what guys need. Just that explicit kind of, I'm listening, I'm here to hear what's going on for you, rather than try and solve anything.
Those two stories and more are ahead on this week's InfoTrack. The show begins right after this.
Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's winds blowing across a fruited plain, and also your new fire pit, which subsequently sets your gazebo ablaze. It's American. It's hard-hitting football and an even harder-hitting price estimate from your general contractor. That's a star-spangled bummer. It's also round-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of homeownership alive and kicking. Get a quote at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 35% off paints and stains from July 26th through August 5th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you got the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
Gotta be fresh.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
There are serious nursing home staff shortages, and new federal regulations might make it even worse. Here to discuss this is Kimberly Blanton, writer and editor at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. Kimberly, let's start with the big picture. Can you describe the current staffing situation in nursing homes from your experience?
Yes. Staffing in nursing homes is pretty difficult right now. These are really tough jobs. These nurses' aides that do all the heavy lifting in the nursing homes are not really well paid, and they have a lot of job opportunities right now. So I think the nursing homes are having a really hard time keeping people. I wrote one blog where nurses' aides actually sent in comments into the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which regulates a lot of the nursing homes. And they talked a lot about the staffing shortages. It sounds like it's really bad inside. You know, we got the inside glimpse from them. A lot of them worrying about the patients. They're not getting good enough care because of the shortages.
What would be some of the common issues that the residents face due to the lack of staff? What would be some common problems?
The big issue is if you're in a nursing home, you by definition need really intensive care. So they need a lot of hands-on care. And the nurse's aide said, look, I can't even get to everybody I need to get to. You know, are there deaths resulting from this? I haven't done any investigating into that at all. So I can't say for sure, but there's just a lot of medical problems going on. And one of the real indicators of how bad this shortage is before COVID, about 1 in 5 U.S. nursing homes had to hire some of their workers from outside to sort of, you know, fill in the gaps because of their staff shortages or not having enough people. And now we're at like 1 out of 2 nursing homes are having to hire people from the outside. So that's just one little measure of how dramatic the shortage has become. And now post-COVID, they have other options for other low-paid jobs, and a lot of them are moving out of the nursing home, so they're just having a really hard time hiring people. And I imagine the same thing is going on at assisted living as well.
Kimberly, can you fill us in regarding these new federal regulations?
There are basically 3 kinds of people. There are registered nurses, there are nurses' aides, and then there are licensed practical nurses. So those are the main people that take care of residents at nursing homes. So the Biden administration basically has set up a system where they're requiring a minimum number of each of these in nursing homes. And they said, you don't have to do it right now. You have 5 years to increase the staffing in the nursing home. But what I found and wrote about in my blog is that the Kaiser Family Foundation, KFF, they're sort of a healthcare research data firm. They did a study where they looked at the U.S. nursing homes currently, and they said, okay, these standards don't go into place for 5 years, but let's look at who could meet them right now. And they found that if those were imposed right now, rather than in 5 years, more than half the states have less than a quarter of the number of nurses' aides and other nursing staff they need. So most states do not have enough people. They've got a quarter of what they need. A lot of the nursing homes that are really short are in the South. The Upper Plains states are a little better off than the South. The East Coast states, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, California, less than a fourth of their facilities are meeting the federal standards. The best states to be in are Maine, Oregon, North Dakota, Hawaii, and Alaska. Those are the ones that are in the best shape in terms of getting anywhere close to these federal standards. And they also fall short as well.
Can you explain the concept of tunneling and how it affects the financial transparency of nursing homes?
Yeah. So basically, Somebody did a study on this. Economists did this study. So it was a very mathematical study. But what a lot of the nursing homes do is that they have the corporate entity that owns the nursing home. But what they often do is the people who own the nursing home or the company that owns the nursing home will set up a related company to provide, say, a service to the nursing home, like doing the laundry. And that company will sell its service to the nursing home at inflated prices. So the overpayments are going to another company that's owned by the same owners. And in a sense, they're making it look like the nursing home is less profitable because they're transferring more money over to the other entity, say the laundry service or whatever. So these researchers did a financial analysis of a bunch of nursing homes nationwide, but their basic point is that these nursing homes are just a lot more profitable. They say they can't hire people because their profits aren't high enough, but in fact, the researchers said, you know, we don't really know exactly how profitable they are, but we believe that they probably could afford to hire more people than they do.
We've been talking about for-profit nursing homes. What about nonprofit and government facilities? How are they doing with the staffing?
That is another interesting thing that came out of the KFF study. About 11% of for-profit nursing homes are currently meeting the minimum staff requirements that are going into effect in 5 years, those new federal standards. But 40% of nonprofits and government facilities meet that standard. So, you know, you've got about four times more of the nonprofit and government facilities are at least close to the standards.
What would you say to anyone listening who maybe has a loved one they need to put in a nursing home, or they have a loved one in a nursing home, they're not sure they're getting the right treatment? Is there anything you would advise them?
If an elderly parent or disabled person in a nursing home isn't getting the right treatment, there are definitely ways to file complaints, I believe, with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Another interesting thing, too, is that to some extent, people are shifting away from nursing homes. There's kind of a national trend. More people are going into assisted living. Also, Medicaid has eased up on how much it will pay and which states will pay for some home care using Medicaid funds. Medicaid is the biggest funder of nursing homes. But the federal state Medicaid programs in a lot of states, they're saying, look, rather than pay for a nursing home, we will support some home care so that the person doesn't have to go in a nursing home. So for that reason, nursing home residency is declining. And also, a lot of people are choosing to go into assisted living as well. You've also got a more diverse population, more Black people, more Hispanic people. And they tend more often to live with an adult child or another caregiver. So as the population becomes more diverse, that nursing home population is declining as well. But I have an elderly mother. She's 88 and a half years old, and she's in assisted living now near my home. And I find even at assisted living, the supervision, just keeping an eye on the parent is just really an important thing to do because the aides are overworked. They're underpaid. There's a lot of turnover. They're very nice people, but there's a lot of inconsistency in the care. And I imagine it's very similar to what's going on in nursing home, but it's perhaps more serious because the people in nursing homes are, by definition, really in worse shape. They're more seriously ill. They can't take care of themselves.
Kimberly Blanton, writer and editor at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. Kimberly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Chris, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Next, how to improve the mental health of men. That story as InfoTrack continues.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.
Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's sea to shining sea and water damage as far as the eye can see.
It's America.
It's freshly mowed grass and a fence that was freshly vandalized by a pack of unruly teens.
It's America.
It's also round-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of home ownership alive and kicking. Get a quote at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 35% off paints and stains from July 26th through August 5th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you get the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
Gotta be fresh.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Recent stats suggest that nearly 20% of American men struggle with some type of mental health issue, such as depression, anxiety disorders, or thoughts of suicide. And societal stigmas sometimes make men feel it's a form of weakness or not manly to get help. How can men better support each other's mental health? InfoTrack's Roy Mackey is here with practical advice from an expert for men seeking to make new connections, strengthen existing relationships, and provide mutual support. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. We're talking with John Olive, PhD, a professor of nursing at the University of British Columbia, where he's also the founder and lead investigator of the Men's Health Research Program. Professor Olive, you were the lead researcher in a new study focusing on peer support for mental health challenges for men. Can you tell us the most important findings from this most recent research?
Yeah, I think one of the really interesting parts is that guys are often really, really good about wanting to help other guys. They're not so good at reaching out. It takes a little bit more to be vulnerable with a friend and maybe disclose some things that might be going on for you that are challenging you. So that was one of the things. We also learned that guys are pretty intent on asking open-ended questions to try and get their friends speaking and chatting. So there's some good skill sets there. There's definitely intent to be there for your buddies in terms of their mental health. Just how we do it is some of the challenge, I think.
Professor, can you talk for a moment about the ways that men's mental health struggles differ from women's?
Well, I think, you know, traditionally what's happened for a lot of guys is they've bought into that traditional masculinity where stoicism, self-reliance, and strength are a part of their makeup or they'd like to embody. And what happens with that, it often negates us from admitting challenges because they're perceived as weaknesses by people around us and also by ourselves. So it tends to cut us off. And that's one of the patterns that we've seen with guys over the years where there's a reluctance to sort of reach out. Ironically, when guys do reach out, they're often just looking to process what's going on for them. And I think that's the other kind of blind spot in a lot of this is that sometimes guys can't quite articulate the challenge that's occurring for them or the problem they're having. And they feel like they're not rational enough to articulate it and sort of share it with a friend. So there's a few barriers there for guys, and I think traditionally masculinity's kind of taught a lot of guys to probably say less and look interiorly rather than reach out.
Part of your project is the development of a website called In Good Company. Tell us a bit about the goals of that website and what men can find there.
Yeah, so we share a lot of the findings from the study. So guys took photographs about their experiences of receiving and giving mutual help around mental health to other guys. And so we share the photographs, we share some of their captions. And what we're trying to do is say, a lot of guys struggle with this. Here's some strategies for what they say works. They're endorsed by us. We've sort of done an analysis of the things that do work. And we've sort of shared some of those. So it's to try and affirm guys in knowing that it's not always easy to reach out, knowing that it's not always easy to be there for other guys, but here's some strategies, and that there's super benefits in this. So in terms of mental health, we know that guys track really well when they've got a good team around them, good people around them who they can reach out to, And also being there for other people has huge benefits, often understated in terms of what guys can do. So the website is a reservoir of this data that helps you make sense of some of the things you might do better, how you might show up better for your mates, and also how you might more ably reach out when you're sort of experiencing a few challenges.
And give us the website address.
It's ingoodcompany.ubc.ca.
Our guest on InfoTrack is John Olive, PhD, a professor of nursing at the University of British Columbia. And we're talking about his men's health research program, where they examine mental health challenges for men and how to deal with them. Professor, another aspect of your research is what's called a photo voice project. Explain what it is and maybe what insights you've gained from the stories shared by men in that project.
Yeah, we've been using the method for years, and so photo voice is one of those ones where you ask guys to take photographs of their experiences, and in this case, you know, it's around giving and receiving mutual help for mental health issues. And so they take photographs, we interview them. It's a really neat method because it just allows the guys to talk to their experiences in some depth. So we put the photographs up on Zoom and we interview the guys, they talk about them, and then we can start to distill their stories and look for patterns across each of the participants for what was most often said. So it's a nice way of having a casual conversation. You know, a lot of times people are flicking through photographs on their phone and just having a relaxed conversation. So we take the formality out of the research interview by doing that, and it works really well. Guys love it, and some of the photographs are so insightful. Help us to think about, you know, things we can do better, and also, you know, they resonate in terms of the challenges.
We kind of touched on stigma. What do you see are the biggest barriers that prevent men from seeking or offering peer support?
One that doesn't get discussed a whole lot, but we found in the data, is privacy. You know, there's a certain amount of self-reliance that we kind of, if we see a guy who might be a little bit off, you know, in terms of kilter, we might just sort of put it down to, oh, he'll be fine, he'll work his way through it, don't want to sort of invade his personal space or anything like that. So there's a kind of a piece around buying into not only that you might be a bit stoic and a bit silent, but guys just aren't. And what we hear time and again is if you break that barrier and just say, hey, what's going on for you? Let's have a little bit of a chat and a few open-ended questions to get them talking. Usually the permission to talk is what guys need. Just that explicit kind of, I'm listening, I'm here to hear what's going on for you, rather than try and solve anything, I think is super important. So again, just a little tip for folks out there. Sometimes, you know, we sort of buy into the idea that a guy's just quiet or he's not going to say too much. But if you explicitly ask, what we find time and again is that guys do open up and have a chat.
I think the general wisdom is that women typically have a greater number of friends than men do. Suppose I'm a man listening to this interview who wonders how I can create some new social connections. What advice can you offer?
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time and it takes effort, so it's work. What I would say to guys who might be thinking about sort of branching out a little bit is that we're often conditioned to be competitive with other guys, and I'd advise to maybe stand off that, you know, not be competitive, be there for a guy who you're trying to sort of forge a friendship with, be interested and be interesting. You know, so have a reciprocity in terms of dialogue and changing things up and chatting through things, and try and get below the banter. The game is always fun to watch, you know, nice to have a bevy and watch the game, but looking for some depth of what that person values, what's important to them, what some of their challenges are, what some of their strategies are, and just getting below the surface. And I think that takes a little bit of time. You're probably, you know, when you first meet someone, you're not likely to do that. But over a period of time, you can start to develop that dialogue. And that's where those deeper connections come from. And I think it's really important for guys because, you know, when they isolate and they're a little bit by themselves, it's really tough on mental health when you just don't have people around you.
Finally, do you have any parting words of advice or encouragement for men about mental health and peer support and perhaps beginning a conversation?
Far be it for me to have a silver lining on the pandemic, but I would say that one of the things we learned is that many of us struggled with anxiety and depressive symptoms and mental health challenges. So it's a wonderful time right now to be able to chat through some of those stresses, as guys typically call them, and talk about strategies and coming out of this pandemic, what it meant for you inside that, you know, how you're coming through at the moment. What are some of the lingering challenges? What were some of the losses? What do you see as the benefits? And sort of getting some depth. And I think there's a common ground there for many guys, you know, when they start to engage that, not to belabor the deficits, but to think about, you know, some of the potentials of the future as well. The other thing I'd say is that we're in a time of real gender flux, if you like. There's a lot of gender equity, gender equality movements going on at the moment. And I think that's a great opportunity for guys to operate a bit differently to the traditional masculinities that were all about stoicism and self-reliance. I think there's a great opportunity to reach out right now in a normative way, in a way that is acceptable and that we know that we benefit from and that we need.
And finally, give us that web address one more time for the In Good Company website.
ingoodcompany.ubc.ca.
John Olive, PhD, a professor of nursing at the University of British Columbia. Thank you very much for joining us today.
No worries. Thanks a lot.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 35% off paints and stains from July 26th through August 5th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Whether you realize it or not, advertisers, salespeople, and others are constantly trying to persuade you. Our next guest is a real expert in the field. He's social psychologist Dr. Robert Cialdini, author of Persuasion, A Revolutionary Way to Influence and Persuade. So Persuasion says it's not so much about the message, but what happens just before the message is delivered. Is that right?
Yes. Persuasion describes the process of gaining agreement with a message before it's been sent. Now, that may sound like some form of magic, but it's not. It's established science. For example, in one study, when researchers approached individuals and asked for help with a marketing survey, only 29% agreed to participate. But if the researchers approached a second sample and preceded their request with a simple, persuasive question, "Do you consider yourself a helpful person?" Now, when asked, 77% volunteered to participate. Why? Because when asked before the request if they were helpful, nearly everyone answered yes. Then, when the request occurred, most agreed to participate in order to be consistent with the recently activated idea of themselves as helpful people.
Now, would you say those people were aware that they had been persuaded, or did they just accept it as just their natural behavior?
They were not aware. And let me give you one more study that shows that point. On a furniture store, an online furniture store website, the researchers sent visitors to a landing page that had either fluffy clouds in the background or coins. Those who were directed to the website with fluffy clouds depicted then became more interested in learning about comfortable furniture and preferred to purchase comfortable furniture. Those who were directed to the website with coins became more interested in furniture for which price was the most important feature, and they preferred to purchase inexpensive furniture. Now, when asked afterwards, none of them thought that they had been influenced by the clouds or coins. They were sure that they had made those decisions completely on their own, when in fact, simply drawing their attention to the concept of comfort or the concept of price immediately before they encountered the information determined how they searched that information and what they valued inside of it, completely without their recognition.
If I want to convince someone to do something, is there a formula that I can apply for persuasion, or is it going to be specific to each situation?
Yes, it's going to be specific depending on what your goal is. Let's say you're applying for a new job. What we typically do when we go into an interview situation is say to the evaluator, I'm very glad that you invited me here, and I want to answer all your questions, right? Now, here's what I'm going to recommend we say in addition. But, you know, before we begin, there's a question I'd like you to answer for me. Why did you invite me to interview today? What was it about my qualifications that attracted you to my candidacy? And Chris, you know, I've got an acquaintance who says, what happens is the evaluator now starts looking at the strengths of your record. And in that mindset, has a very positive attitude to adopt to your candidacy for the rest of the interview. He claims, my acquaintance, that he's gotten 3 straight jobs this way.
That's brilliant. Can a consumer learn a way to defend themselves against this technique?
Yes, it's one that I've learned now, which is to say, when I find myself being persuaded in some direction in a way that was really very powerful, and I'm saying to myself, wow, suddenly I'm on board with this idea or this product, I ask myself, what did the persuader do immediately before delivering their message? In other words, how did they create a frame of mind in me that would be favorable to their message before I even knew it was going to occur?
The book is Persuasion, A Revolutionary Way to Influence and Persuade. The author, Dr. Robert Cialdini. And you can learn more at his website, influenceatwork.com. Dr. Cialdini, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, I enjoyed it.
We've reached the end of another InfoTrack radio broadcast. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitty. Catch us next time on another edition of InfoTrack.
It was yesterday, it was years ago. We were singing every word on the radio. Kinda like them songs could save our souls. Somehow, some way, we was falling fast, we was jumping in. Blue jean halo hanging off a limb. Two American kids, just like them. Every time we'd play, and it blew us away.
Do you turn it up, do you sing along? Every time you hear that song, like we did then, like we did when. In a Chevy Cheyenne, way back when I was Jack and you were dying.
Yeah, and the music played. Yeah, we were never growing up or growing old, breaking up or letting go. Girl, just like rock and roll, where's it gone? But I hope like hell every now and again I blow across your mind like that summer wind. And you're holding on to 16 long as you can every time that it comes on.
Do you turn it up, do you sing along? Every time you hear that song, like we did then, like we did when. Do you close your eyes, does it make you laugh? Do the memories take you back to 6 packs and a Chevy Cheyenne, way back when I was Jack and you were dying? Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
the Chevy Cheyenne. Way back when I was Jack and you were dying. Yeah, way back. Way on back when I was Jack and you were dying. Make you laugh when I was Jack and you were dying. Yeah, the memories take you back, take you back, take you back.
Country Legends 24/7, 105.5 FM.
Take the rain on the roof of this empty house, that don't bother me. I can take a few tears now and then and just let them out. I'm not afraid to cry every once in a while, even though going on with you gone still upsets me. There are days every now and again I pretend I'm okay.
Oh,
one was broken. Now this one's halfway gone, and it's barely even open. There's a hole in the bottle, leaking all this wine. It's already empty, and it ain't even supper time. Honey, no, I don't listen. In fact, it slipped my mind. There's a hole in the bottle of wine. You may ask me where it's going, but I can't even find the hole.
A girl in Louisiana, and though I'm out on the highway, my thoughts are still with her. Such a strange combination of a woman and a child. Such a strange situation, stopping every 100 miles, calling Baton Rouge. A replay of last night's events rolled through my mind. Except a scene or two erased by sweet red wine. And I see a truck stop sign ahead, so I change lane. I need a cup of coffee and a couple dollars change, calling Baton Rouge. Operator, won't you put me on through? I gotta send my love down to Baton Rouge. Hurry up, won't you put her on the line? I gotta talk to the girl just one more time. Send my love down to Baton Rouge. Hurry up, won't you put her on the line? I gotta talk to the girl just one more time. Go in Baton Rouge, sweet Baton Rouge, my Baton Rouge. Oh.
Pride, Central Wisconsin Wide, Country Legends 24/7, 105.5 FM.
Seventeen, you don't think that much about life, you just live. Like kerosene dancing around the fire, but you're in. So you jump right in, ain't afraid to fall, and you give it all. She got the best of me. She broke my heart, and now all that's left of me is beating this guitar. She follows me around, so you give what's left to me. Yeah, you give what's left to me, 'cause she got the best.